Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Hello, listeners. What a joy it is to be back here with you this evening. And per usual, I come bearing a gift. The gift of fright. But the wrapping paper will look a little different here this evening. Now, I've been a bit under the weather this week, which has made it difficult for me to assemble this week's material. But I'm a strong believer in the phrase, the show must go on. So I'm going to make this work. So I guess that's my way of introducing tonight's Grab Bag episode. Now the gimmick here is that I have not heard any of these calls prior to sharing them here with you tonight. They're just as fresh to me as they are to you. Now you see, I've only selected these calls based on the short 5 or 6 word description that goes with each of the entries. So what that means is less commentary from me. Any knowledge I offer up today is off the top of my head. Delaney has this episode off. But it also means I can squeeze more calls in this week. And of course, it's also a nice change of pace. So let's get after this latest Grab Bag episode. Beginning with an entry out of Texas. Uriel, welcome to tonight's program.
Hello, I'm Uriel from Texas, and I've had an interesting experience with the shadow person. And this has been an experience that has been on and off for a couple of years, I'd say, from 2016 up until 2023, around the beginning of 2023. But for the most part, all those experiences have been somewhat tame and calm in comparison to what I'm about to say now. But say around 2 years ago, I was home and I was listening to like a podcast on YouTube, and I decided to pause it for a bit, and I walked around the house and decided that I wanted to go to the restroom. And so I walked down to the hall towards the restroom, and as I was walking towards the restroom, I turned to my left and I saw a very tall, muscular, dark shadow person. This person looked like a bodybuilder almost, and I saw it clear as day. It felt so real, and that it was made out of pure shadow, but I saw its distinct features. It had horns, and it was all dark, made out of shadows, and I stared into its eyes, and it stared right back at me, and I, at the time, I couldn't really believe that it was real what I was seeing, but as I look back on it now, it was as clear as day, and it felt very real to me, and
it felt like, kind of like had a smoky texture to it, but it felt very, you know, its features were very intricate, and felt very physical and real, as if I was looking at a real person. And as I looked into its eyes, I felt an evil, malevolent energy. But it didn't do anything to me. It just stood there and stared at me. And the more I stared at it, the more I felt this dread, this terror, like, and I didn't know what to do. And I just kept staring at it, and I was frozen. And I decided to just move away and pretend it wasn't there. And then I just kind of walked away and didn't use the restroom for a couple of hours. And yeah, that's pretty much it from that experience. But it was definitely 100% real when I looked at it. It had horns. I don't know if I mentioned that detail. It had horns. It was very muscular, kind of like a bodybuilder. I couldn't see its face. It was just an all black shadow. And ever since then, I could feel a presence, even before that, but more so afterwards too, where I feel like I'm being touched, like I'm being perceived, like I'm being followed. And it's happened for a very long time, but it doesn't feel as, I guess, terrifying as before, and it doesn't feel as evil as before. But in that moment, in that one experience, I just felt like everything was over. And this experience reminded me of one from one of the callers in the most recent episode, where I guess something similar happened to them, and that reminded me to recall and reshare this story. And hopefully other people can relate and see what this being was, what this specific type of shadow person was, or what it's about. And anyway, yeah, thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Uriel. You know, shadow entities have to be one of the toughest subjects for me to discuss here on the program. Not because I'm bothered by them, or that I had a personal experience that makes it difficult for me to discuss the topic, but because there's so little information known about this strange phenomena that I quickly run out of information to share with you. Now, as for Uriel's sighting, I've heard a lot of descriptions of these entities over the years, but this is probably the first that described the figure as huge, like a bodybuilder. And I believe it's the first time I've heard of horns being featured on one of these entities' heads as well. So whatever it is, whatever this phenomena is, it's super spooky, and it seems to shake up anyone that comes across it. And it sounds like Uriel here is no exception. But we do thank you for sharing your experience here with us. Now, folks, if you have a true paranormal story you would like to share here on the program, give my hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or shoot us a voice memo from your email to monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now, next up, we hear from Justin in that state up north.
Hi, Derek. This is Justin from Metro Detroit. I am calling in because Kelly's story in your most recent episode really spurred me onto it, because I had an incredibly similar experience. I was about 12 years old. This would have been the summer of 2007 or 2008. I was camping with some family friends up at Sleeping Bear Dunes near Traverse City, Michigan, which, while still an urban area, is an urban area that's much more close to state and national park. Sleeping Bear Dunes is an incredibly beautiful area, and there is little in the way of light pollution. So it was probably 10 or 11 at night. We had just gotten out of the camp showers. Me and all the other kids that we had been camping with, there was probably 7 or 8 of us, and one of the older boys who was there had pointed out to us that there were satellites that we could see. He made some claim like, you know, satellites traveling east to west were communications, and north and south were military. I don't think that's true at all, but while we were sitting there, we saw another. You know, one of us, I don't remember who it was, pointed it out and said, well, what's that one? Because it's moving at an angle, and it looked like it was moving faster. And it didn't look like a plane, because there's quite a few, you know, Air Force and Air National Guard bases in Michigan. So we know what planes look like when they're moving through. You know, you can hear a plane. It was silent. The quality of light was exactly the same as it was on, you know, the other satellites around. And the 8 of us sat and watched as it traversed across the sky and did a little S wiggle. And then, just like Kelly described, as if it was shooting off into warp, nearly instantaneous, this action. I say nearly because there was still the impression of movement left behind. If the thing had simply blinked out of existence, that would have been one thing, but there was an impression of direction that was left behind. And I caught up a few years later with one of the people who was there that day, or that evening, and tried asking him about it. And he, you know, he said that he saw it, but he also said that, oh, you know, it was his cousin with a laser pointer or something like that. It couldn't have been a laser pointer. The sky was totally clear, you know, and he very quickly changed the subject after that. But just wanted to call in. You know, my story is very, very similar to Kelly's. I'm sure we're not the only people who have seen lights like this. Keep up the good work, Derek. Love the show.
Thank you, Justin. You know, I'd never heard that about satellites. That the east and the west ones are communications and the north and south traveling ones are military in origin. And since I have the power of the edit button, this is what Google tells me. Most communication satellites orbit the Earth in an east-to-west direction, typically staying above the equator in a geostationary orbit, while many military satellites utilize polar orbits, meaning they travel from north to south, passing over the Earth's poles. So I guess there might be something to the direction that it was traveling, Justin. But given its behavior and description, I do wonder if it wasn't a high-altitude jet instead of a satellite. That could explain the direction of travel and these strange movements that are beyond the abilities of a conventional satellite. And, if it was high enough, you likely would never hear the engines roaring. But either way, it's a great story, Justin. And how awesome is it that this sighting occurred while he was out there camping? Another gentle reminder to get outdoors, because you never know what you might encounter. Now, folks, it's time for a short break, but I'll be right back with more Grab Bag Calls.
Been following a lot. I know you've been keeping an eye on Pence. What information have you been
Hey, guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Job because of
and she said
now I pulled this next one because I'm super curious based on the file name. Colorful outlines of humanoids when eyes are closed. Well, that certainly sounds interesting. Zach from North Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Derek. This is Zach. I'm calling from North Carolina. I found your podcast maybe 2-3 weeks ago, and I've been listening to it ever since. I'm not in any particular order, just kind of whatever I see what it's about, and if it strikes my interest, I play it. But in an episode I was listening to maybe a week ago, you mentioned just kind of in passing about a person who called in on a previous episode that said that when they close their eyes, they could still see their surroundings. Like I said, I don't remember the episode I was listening to, or even if you mentioned what episode that original call was in. So I haven't heard what he said or what his experience was. So this may be just a rehashing of old information that you already have, but maybe my experience is different and it's something that may intrigue you and your listeners. But about my experience and what happens, you know, when you stare at the sun or a light in general for a few seconds, then you close your eyes, you have that spot in your vision of where that light was. It's kind of like a little snapshot, you know, just of that light. Well, the same thing happens for me, but with people. Derek, if you and I were in the same room and I were to shut my eyes, then I would still be able to see you. I should say this, not really you, the way you appear, but rather kind of the outline of you, and kind of haloed by this glow, I guess. And the colors are always usually in the yellow, orange, red kind of hue. Sometimes it's been blues and greens, but mostly I get that warmer tone. However, whenever I do this, it's never just the people in the room. There are always extras. There are always other things that I can see. So if I close my eyes, and I would see the people that are surrounding me, or the one or two people in the room, but then there's always other, usually humanoid shapes. Not always humanoid, but mostly, for the most part, human-looking shapes. And the one, the people that are there physically that I can reach out and touch, and the ones that are there, the colors that surround them, that they're haloed by, are always very bright. But these, the other ones, it's like the colors are watered down, and they're fainter. In fact, if I'm in a room, if it's daylight outside, I'm in a very bright room, a lot of times the ambient light off the walls and stuff can cause some interference in seeing them. They're definitely there, but they're not as clear. But in a dark room, they very much stand out. Like I said, there's always other things around me. Even when I'm alone, I've done this, and there are always one or two other things. So I guess I've never really been alone. And I'm not a religious person. I don't subscribe to any kind of religious dogma or anything like that. So, you know, like guardian angels and those kind of things, I don't really believe in. But if I'm seeing the auras, or whatever you may want to call it, of people, then I'm definitely seeing something else when I close my eyes. So do with that what you will. Hopefully you find it interesting. Love the show, man. Bye.
Thank you, Zach. I can't help but find this call very remarkable. And Zach touched on this a bit, but I agree with him. It almost sounds as if he's seen people's auras, an energy field that's said to surround living beings. And there are some people, I don't know if I want to call them psychic, but they claim to have the ability to read these auras. So perhaps Zach is one of these people, but he just doesn't know it yet. And as for seeing through your eyelids in general, we get a lot of calls about that very subject. So much so that I did a special episode all about it back on season 15, episode 26. And I probably have another dozen calls representing this phenomena over in my call bank. Calls that I bet you'll hear on a future Tuesday episode. Now until then, that's wild stuff, Zach. But with so many others reporting nearly the exact same thing, it's real hard not to believe. So thanks again for giving me a call. Now with the holidays fast approaching, cut down on your shopping time this season with a visit to our merch shop. Any listener to the program would love some garb representing their favorite paranormal podcast. Just visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the shop tab. Oh, and those hoodies arrived earlier this week, and Sarah has been shipping them out the last couple of days. So if you've ordered one, that sucker's on its way. Now next up, we venture to Oklahoma, where an anonymous caller has a tale lined up for us.
Hi, I don't want to give my name because it's a distinct name, but I do have another story, and the closest way I can think of describing it might be third man, but it's not exactly a third man kind of thing. So I used to work at a Christian summer camp in the mountains of central Oklahoma. Yes, there are mountains there. They're small, but it was a pretty remote camp, but well-developed. And there were a ton of cabins on the property. And the way it would work is churches would come and stay in appropriately sized cabins. So like if you had a group of 200 people, they weren't going to put you in a cabin that could hold 500. Or if you came with a group of 60, you didn't get a cabin for like 150 people. And that kind of matters for the story. And each group stayed with their own group. So each church stayed with their own group. You didn't combine groups or anything like that. And my job involved spending a ton of time with the church groups that came. And so in the evenings, we usually went individually out to different cabins to spend time with the campers before they went to bed. So about a 2-hour period of time from like 8 to 10, roughly, something like that. And one night, my friend, my coworker, his cabin like had a last minute cancellation or something. I don't know why he was with me this night, but he was. And that was a rare occurrence. So we're on our way to my cabin appointment where I was supposed to be going, and it's dark outside. It's probably like July. It's the summer month, probably about 8 p.m., maybe 8:30. And as we're driving, we pass this tiny little cabin, maybe could house 50 people, maybe. I think probably less, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. And the porch is all lit up. There are people on the porch. And we see this lady, like, leaning over the railing of the cabin porch railing, waving her arms and calling to us, like, hey, come over here. Please come over here. We need you to come over here. And I turn and I said to my friend, did you see that woman? And he said, yeah. Do you want to turn around and go back? And I said, yeah, you never know. The cell reception up there was spotty. So like if there had been an emergency, maybe they couldn't have called, you know? So I wanted to cover my bases. We went over there, which involved turning the golf cart around and going back to the cabin. And by the time we got there, she wasn't there. The porch was still full of people, but she wasn't there. And because the porch was lit up, we could remember her features and we knew exactly what she was wearing. We saw her face. And when we got there, we asked where this lady was. Like, clearly we didn't know her name, but we described her as like, there was a woman with a purple shirt, jean shorts, white tennis shoes, brown short hair calling to us. No one knew who we were talking about. There was no one who fit that description, and the whole group might have been 30 people. So it wasn't like a lost in the crowd situation. And when we got there, we found out someone had received some very life-threatening information about their health and was in really urgent need of prayer. And I am not trying to say that our prayers were anything special by any means, but this lady was never found, never identified, but she flagged us over there. We went and we found out this news. I've never known what to think about it, and my friend also has never known what to think about it, but I would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks. Love the show.
Thank you, caller. Who or what was this mystery woman? An apparition, perhaps. A ghost that's confined to that cabin, who was somehow aware of the emergency and took matters into her own hands. Or maybe it was one of these guardian angels we hear about all the time. There's certainly no shortage of those reports on this program. Or maybe she was just a passerby, and no one noticed she came or went. Then, of course, there is the third man factor, which essentially is a non-religious version of the guardian angel theory. So your guess here is as good as mine, but I did enjoy the story, so we appreciate you calling in. Two stories about camping this week. Must be my lucky evening. And speaking of lucky evenings, it's your lucky evening as well, because I have several more spooky stories to share with you tonight, right after these messages.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Cool. Let me check this.
Rest of the season with a dislocated ankle.
Now let me reach back down into the grab bag and nab another name. Samantha from Nevada. You're our next winner.
Hi, Derek. This is Samantha from Reno, Nevada. I'm calling to report, I guess they're called UAPs now, not UFOs, but it was an object that I had seen while driving on the freeway. This was on June 6th, 2017, and I know the date because I reported it to MUFON the day that it happened. So I was driving on I-80 West, and just before the McCarran exit on the left-hand side of the freeway, I saw a sphere-shaped metallic object, and it was floating, I don't know, maybe 20 feet off the ground, just to the side of the freeway. And I remember kind of doing a double take thinking like, oh, is that really there? And it was. And then driving on, I was on my way to a meeting. I couldn't really stop. I didn't have a lot of time to like take a picture or, you know, go back and investigate. But after the meeting, I did drive back that way and I saw that the object wasn't there any longer. So it was just a really odd experience. I have no idea what it was, but it's something that has stuck with me all of these years and that I thought that I should report. Yeah, and that's it. That's my story. I really enjoyed the podcast. Just recently got done with a 12-hour drive, and the podcast got me and my children through it. Very entertaining. So thanks so much for putting that on. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Samantha. And I'm glad I could ride shotgun. Now, oddly enough, I had a similar experience while road tripping myself. I've told this story before, so I'll be brief in retelling it, but essentially, Sarah and I were towing our camper back from the Sierras on a camping trip up in the mountains, headed south on 395, when I saw something about 150 to 200 yards off to my left. It appeared to be something similar to what Samantha described, something metallic looking, hovering about 25 feet off the ground. I do not recall the color of it, but I want to say maybe it was white. But what I do remember is that a pair of men stood on the side of the road, staring at this object with a pair of binoculars, which to me made this even more unusual. And you know, a listener wrote in a while back suggesting that it could have been one of those portable canopies. A pop-up canopy, I suppose. Now I guess there are archaeological digs in that area quite often, and they use large canopies to keep the sun off of them as they dig. And I guess some of these canopies can get pretty big. I linked to an example in the show notes of one that's roughly the same size and shape as what I think I saw. And although I forget my informant's name, thank you for the archaeological information. But look, if Samantha saw something too, and what she saw wasn't a tent, well, maybe I shouldn't close my case just yet. Whatever it was, Samantha, we thank you for sharing it here on tonight's program. Now, it's time to pull another call from the hat. Elizabeth from Oregon, welcome to the show.
Hi, Derek. This is Elizabeth Mack from Portland, Oregon. I have called in many times. In reference to the February 15th, 2024 episode, I have a story my mom told me quite a while ago. About 30 years ago, my parents were driving out to Minnesota to see our relatives, and she said they were passing through Montana, a clear blue day, middle of the afternoon. They're driving in the empty spaces of Montana, and she looks out her passenger window to see a Native American brave, completely dressed like it, feathers in the hair, the whole thing, running alongside their car. Now, mind you, they're going about 55 miles an hour. My mom indicates to my father what she's seeing. He sees it, and he's like, whoa, and he starts speeding up, and this thing kept pace with them, and she said that's when I knew that was a skinwalker. And she said it chased them for several miles and did not stop or leave him behind until my dad reached over 85 miles per hour. Just thought that was an interesting little tidbit from our paranormal family. Thank you very much. Bye.
An interesting tidbit, indeed. Thank you, Elizabeth, for calling in. Now, if I had a dollar for every story I've heard that goes exactly like this one, I'd have about 20 bucks. Because we played a number of calls over the years that seemed to depict the exact same thing that Elizabeth's parents claimed to have experienced. Although, I did notice one distinct difference. On nearly every other call like this that I can think of, the Native American running alongside the vehicle is described as being painted. White, black, red, the colors vary, but they almost all mention that feature. So perhaps that was simply a detail left out of Elizabeth's retelling. Or perhaps that suggests that this sighting was different somehow. Whatever the case, we love hearing about it. So thank you again, Elizabeth, for ringing in.
And video is finally back, a new season means new ways.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
New York, call 877-8-HOPE.
Now, next up, we take a call from my state of California. Please join me in welcoming Michelle to the program.
Hi, this is Michelle calling from San Francisco, and I wanted to call this in right away because it happened today. Today's September 24th, and we were walking back. Me, my husband, and a friend were walking around noon today from a street fair, and it was a really nice, warm, clear day, kind of odd for San Francisco Pacifica area, but it was sunny skies. And we had mentioned it as we were walking that there was a fog bank way out over the ocean because we could see the ocean from where the street we were walking on. And I happened to look up and notice a plane flying really low. And I thought, wow, that's flying really low. And I also noticed that the plane was a little odd looking. It looked kind of like a glider. And right where we were at is a beach where they have hang gliders, which look a lot different. You can tell it looks like a kite with a person on it. But this was a plane. And my friend who lives right there had said, oh, this is the regular flight path to and from the SFO airport. So a lot of planes pass over here. And I said, but yeah, that's really low. I don't know. And it looked just different. But I did listen and I thought, oh, it's really quiet too. But I could kind of hear a little buzz like a, you know, like a plane engine, but not loud like a normal commercial airline. You can see those. And actually right in that area, you can see the airplanes. You can actually see like the colors of the planes. And sometimes you can see the logo of the airline. But no, this was coming straight at us. So we couldn't see the side, excuse me. So as we were walking forward. We were by a parking lot. So, you know, it was nice and clear and we could see the plane. However, we got to a corner where there was a gas station, and the gas station had those overhangs where the pumps are underneath. So by the time that we got to the other side of the gas station, I looked up again because I wanted to see how much lower it was, and it was gone, completely gone. And my friend and my husband were with me, and they said, oh, no, it didn't disappear. It's just there's a fog bank right there. And I said, no, the fog bank's out in the ocean, not above us. And my friend said, no, it didn't disappear. It was there. They both kind of just blew me off. And I don't know. It just looked weird and different. And I thought I would call you guys and let you know if anybody was out at that street fair in Pacifica today, right by San Francisco, they happened to notice the glider. Maybe it made a quick turn. But seriously, we had a good view after the gas station of the entire sky, and maybe it took a quick turn and went back over the ocean. I don't know. But it was gone. There was no noise anymore. There was nothing. I don't know. I thought I'd let you know that. And if anybody was out there today around noon and saw anything, maybe you could let me know. Say something on here. That would be great. Thanks a lot, and thank you for doing this, for having a place for us to call in. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Michelle. Now, I did a real quick search over on Google using some of the information that Michelle left, and to my surprise, I was able to find a fatal glider accident above the city of Pacifico, California. But the dates do not line up. The fatal incident occurred on April 22nd of 2019, years before it seems Michelle had her experience. Now, given that this accident was so recent, I'll leave the details out of it, but I did link to more information in the show notes, if you just have to know. But you know, I did have a thought. If there is anything to this theory that a sudden and abrupt death can lead to a ghost or a haunting, then we need to at least entertain the idea that Michelle might have witnessed a ghostly reenactment of those tragic events. A ghost glider, if you will. Stranger things have happened. And since Michelle asked, how about it, folks? Anyone out there listening that might have been there that day and saw exactly what Michelle saw? If so, hit us up and we'll share the info. MonstersAmongUsPodcast@gmail.com or 888-608-NIGHT. Now this next one's not a dog man, not a goat man, not even a Wendigo. But instead of telling you what it's not, dear listener, I'll let Rebecca in Pennsylvania fill you in on what it is. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Hi, Derek. My name is Rebecca. I am calling from a little town outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, called Narstown. I actually wanted to share my story just because I had just listened to the latest episode of the podcast, the season 14, episode 9. And at the very end of it, you were talking about the not deer. And I have a little bit of a story that I wanted to share about that. So this was probably about 10 years ago. I was probably just about leaving high school, going into college kind of time period. But outside of where I live, there are a bunch of hiking trails that just go around various parts of forests that are in the area. So one of these hiking trails that I was on was probably, I think it was around the Conshohocken area. So the forest that I was walking around had a bunch of different hiking trails. People walk them all the time, but I ended up going around, I want to say probably it was just before sunset. And it was just like, it was just going to be a little walk. It was like an hour long walking trail. But one of the first things that I noticed when walking this trail is while a lot of these trails are visited quite frequently, there were not a lot of people on this trail. Like I had just started walking and there was maybe two people who I saw at the very beginning of the trail and then nobody else. Walking through, there's a bunch of different like views that you can take in. They have benches that are put into trees. They like just, if a tree has fallen down, they kind of cut out little benches for them. And at one of these points, I'm sitting on the bench taking a look out, and there was some movement further in the trail. When I had looked in, there was what I think was a not deer. And the only reason I can explain it, though, is just that it was a deer who had too big of a mouth is the best way that I can describe it. Like, the mouth went almost down the throat. And it was standing in the path, blocking the way forward. Not that I was planning on going forward, but I had been concerned at the time, so much so because it was just an eerie feeling. There was no noise otherwise, no wind, no birds, no nothing. So at the time, I had just been staring at this thing. I looked away for, I think, 5 seconds because I was trying to change something. I was probably pausing some music. And I looked back up and this thing was just gone. I don't know where it had gone. I was looking around for a little bit, but I did not continue forward because after seeing that, it just freaked me out. So I went back the way I came, and it was around that time where the sun was actually starting to set and it was getting really dark. So I was very happy to have left at the right time, I guess. Keep up the great work with the Monsters Among Us podcast. Thank you very much for listening in, and hopefully I will call again later with some more stories. All right, thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Rebecca. The not deer. What a strange name for an even weirder phenomena. Now, essentially, a not deer is, well, actually, this is verbatim from the cryptid wiki page on the subject. The not deer is a creature said to inhabit the Appalachian Mountains, with most sightings being in the state of Tennessee. The animal is characterized as looking like a normal deer at first glance, but upon closer inspection, it becomes apparent that something is off with its anatomy and behavior. The not deer is described as looking like a deer from a distance, but as one looks at it longer or gets closer, something about it is off. Their movements are described as being like a newborn deer, but appearing as an adult. Some accounts suggest the creature is double-jointed or has additional joints in its limbs. So I think you can see why Rebecca would want to call this one in. Because it's creepy as hell. Especially when you think about how many deer are out there wandering around. In fact, I see them all the time here in my yard. No, not deer yet, though. At least, not that I know of. Thank you again, Rebecca, for the story. And folks, that brings us to tonight's final grab bag selection. Unless you stick around to the end of the show, of course. And judging by the title of this one, I think a lot of you are going to be pleased. Blazer from Florida. Welcome to Monsters Among Us.
Hey, Derek. This is Blazer calling out of Central Florida. So, about 14 years ago, so about 2010, I have a really good friend of mine. His name's Brandon, and I was always really close with his family. We'd go on trips, you know, out of state, in state, you know, wherever. They'd take me anywhere, you know, like I was one of their own. So Brandon's family actually planned a camping trip down to a place down south called Fort DeSoto. And, you know, we were all riled up, excited, you know, summertime, you know, we were in eighth grade, getting ready to start high school. So, you know, it was a fun summer. Now, we had no idea what was going to come out of this trip, though. And it's something that 14 years, every time I see the guy, we have to talk about this. So we get to the campground down in Fort DeSoto. I believe the campground was the actual park campground. It was just called Fort DeSoto Park Campground. And set up, you know, we do a little fishing, you know, we passed the day away. We didn't have anything planned till the next day. So the first day we were there, it was just kind of roaming around the ground. Now, it started to get a little late. I believe it was about 10:30. You know, we had a fire going, sitting out by the fire, talking, you know, having some food. And me and Brandon had brought our bikes with us. They had all kinds of trails and all that. And we wanted to ride on them. Now, the thing is, this campground has I believe it was a 9 o'clock curfew. You were not supposed to leave your campsite after 9 o'clock. So being the kids that we were, I believe we were 12 and 13 years old at the time, we hopped on our bikes, you know, and told the parents, hey, we're going to go ride around, you know. If anyone says something, we'll come right back. But so we take off, we head down a trail on our bikes. You know, we must have been riding around for about 5 or 6 minutes. And Brandon's in front of me. I'm maybe, you know, not far, maybe like 5 or 6 feet behind him. And I see him just dead stop in front of me on his bike. You know, I'm like, okay, well, why is he stopping like that? So I pull up next to him, you know, I stop too. And I look up, and about maybe 20 yards from us, sitting under this tree, there is a green, translucent man sitting like pretzel or Indian style, whatever, however you want to call it. He's sitting underneath this tree. And the best way I can describe the way he looked was, I don't know if you've ever seen maybe like SpongeBob, like the Flying Dutchman, how he's like, it's that green glow that you can see through. That's exactly how this guy looked. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, what am I seeing? Because I've never, ever seen anything like that. I've never seen a ghost. I always believed in them. Never seen one. So I'm looking, I'm a little curious, and you know, Brandon looks at me, I look at him, and we have this kind of, you know, or you see this too, right? You know, kind of moment. I'm a little more, you know, interested in the paranormal. So I decide I want to take a few steps closer. I want to make sure what I'm seeing is what I'm seeing. Because I kind of, you know, I got kind of excited. I was very interested in these kind of things, and I'd never seen one, so I wanted to kind of, I wanted a good look at it. So I take a couple steps forward, and I just hear Brandon kind of in my ear behind me, just kind of like, no, no, you know, bro, I think we should go. I think we should head back. And I, you know, just hold on one moment. Just hold on. And so I get a little bit closer, and I can kind of see he's got a feather kind of sticking up, like a headband with a feather sticking up he's wearing on his head. And so I take about two or three more steps, and he starts to uncross his legs and stand up. And as soon as we see that thing move, Brandon, I turn around. Brandon's already on his bike, and he's going. He's headed back, you know, and, you know, it's couple words were you know, screamed out in those moments, you know, but I won't say them. So I hop on mine, and we book it. We book it straight back to the camp to where our site is. And we get back. You know, everyone's still up waiting by the fire, his parents, his grandmother, you know, family, all that. They're all waiting for us, and they see us, you know, freaked out, and they're like, what happened? So we explain to them, you know, what we saw, a glowing green man that we could see through that, you know, just happened to move and stand up and stare at us. Now, at the time, I had a old school, it was an LG Rumor. I had one of those, and I had the two, though. I had the two, so it had the, you could turn it to the side and flip up the keyboard, you know. It was real cool. I was, you know, top of the class with that one. So I get on there, and I get on the internet, and I start trying to look up, you know, like Fort DeSoto Indian, you know, because I saw the feather and the headband. I start, you know, wondering, it's the only thing I could think of. You know, Indians wear feathers in their headbands, but got to have some kind of connection there. And so I'm actually looking, and I find all kinds of stuff about these Indians that would be stationed there around Fort DeSoto. And, you know, there was a lot of people that died to, you know, illnesses and all kinds of, you know, battles that were fought, all kinds of, you know, passings there. And that, for me, kind of confirmed. I saw what I saw, and thank God that Brandon was there to see it too, because I would think I was crazy. And even if no one believes me, I know that Brandon was there. He saw what I saw, and I have one person that I can at least say saw the same thing I did and believes me. But it's so funny now, though, because I actually, now that this is, you know, brought back up into my memory, I did a little Google search for Fort DeSoto. 14 years ago, there was nowhere near as much paranormal sightings, haunting stories. There's all kinds of stuff now when you look it up. But back then, when I was trying to pull teeth to figure out anything, there was nothing. All I could find was, you know, just the history of the Indians and the people that had lived there, the indigenous tribes and all that. So, I don't know. It was something really cool, and I still, to this day, I have to tell everyone about that whenever we talk about ghosts. Anyways, Derek, keep up the good work, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Blazer. I'll be honest here. Based on the file name of this call, one I believe that Delaney made, I thought this would be a Glimmer Man story. As written, the file description is green translucent man sitting under a tree at a campsite. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a very accurate description. Delaney nailed it. But my brain just took it in another direction. But I do wonder what the boys saw that night. Part of me thinks maybe it was just some weirdo that painted himself green and sat along the trail, waiting to unnerve a passing stranger. But how would he make himself translucent, as Blazer described? And also, why? Why would you do that? And I also wonder if it's not what Blazer said, a apparition, a ghost, perhaps of a Native American that once lived in that area. As Blazer alluded to, the place has seen all sorts of history and tragedy, including several deadly bouts with yellow fever being the most impactful. But instead of tossing out further guesses, I'll just leave this one open to the listeners. If this rings a bell of some sort, or you've seen the exact same thing, drop me a line and let me know about it. Until then, all I can do is thank Blazer for submitting the story. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode. Unless you're hip, of course. And I'll catch you back here next Tuesday for a brand new installment. Until then. Monsters Among Us is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes and Delaney Bowers. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Give us a like and follow on our social media accounts. And don't forget we have a brand new Discord server open. Just join us in the beyond to get that link. A fresh like and follow on YouTube goes a long way to help the show grow. And finally, this evening, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Don't forget to rent our film, Shadows in the Desert High Strangeness in the Borrego Triangle. Just visit BorregoTriangle.com to learn more. And come on, it gets dark at 4 p.m. now. What else are you going to do? And speaking of things to do, don't forget about our little spin-off series, Monsters Among Us Jr. It drops each and every Wednesday and can be found anywhere you get your podcasts. All right, folks, stick around for more, but until then, have yourselves a spooky one.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Won't stop till we're legends.
It's time for a secret grab bag entry, shall we? Christina from Georgia. Welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Hey, Derek. This is Christina from Atlanta, Georgia. Calling to talk to you about a thing that we had happen on our property. So we have 5.5 acres, about 40 minutes from where we live, and we go and we work on it almost every weekend. And so this particular weekend, we were staying on it in our RV, and we were outside. We had been doing different things to the property, mowing. So we kind of stopped working, and we were kind of just sitting around. We have a burn barrel, and we were burning mail and sticks and different things and kind of relaxing. We had already eaten. It was dusk and probably just past dusk. So to set this up, there are dogs and stuff in the neighborhood. People have cows over the big hill behind our property. So, you know, you hear noises, and you usually can understand and make out all the noises that happen. Mm-hmm. So we're all sitting there in lawn chairs around this burn barrel, and we're talking, and my husband and I, at the same time, start to hear a weird noise. But we didn't know each other was hearing it at first. So I'm just talking, but I'm also listening, and I couldn't make out what it was, and I was really listening, and I wasn't sure what it was. I'm like, couldn't make out if it was an animal or, you know, like a plane going over. But the more I listened, the more uneasy I felt, and just the creepier it got. So, and everything got quiet, which we all know is a bad sign. All the birds and the crickets and everything stopped. So what I hear is it's like a And in my mind, I'm picturing something army crawling through the grass, because the land, we don't really have any structures on it. It's got a lot of woods. They're not super thick. And we have trails around it where we've gone. But there's grass. There's a section of it that's just like high grass that we don't mow. And I picture in my mind something army crawling through this grass. And then whenever it's bringing its arms back down, you hear the whoosh. So I hear, the part that goes is the grass. It's like getting the grass out of the way or whatever, brush. So I'm listening to it, and in my mind, a rake pops up, like the entity, the white entity that's like, you know, lanky and looks gross. I've seen pictures on the internet. In my mind, that's what I see. I don't know if it was that. I could be wrong. So my husband and I, but then he says, "Do you hear that?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "What is that?" And I was like, "I don't know. It doesn't sound like any animal I know. It doesn't sound like a dog. But it's just that, And so my husband and I at the same time were like, "Nope." And so we grab our daughter, we put out the fire, and we go back to get in the RV. My husband goes out to make sure the fire from the RV probably was about 200 feet and maybe more. And but my daughter and I are waiting in the camper, and it's by this time it's pretty dark. Especially if you've gone inside with the lights and go back outside, and you can't really see your night vision is gone. But he goes back out with his piece, with his gun, to look and see what it is. And by that time, when he went back out there, he didn't hear it anymore. But it was getting closer and closer to where we were. Now we have a fence up to separate that part of the property from the front part. But at the time, we didn't have a fence. And so we didn't want to wait and see what it was that was slowly coming our way, because the noise was getting louder and louder the closer it got. So my daughter didn't really know what was going on. We didn't really share it with her. We just decided, you know, to be safe and go get in the camper. My husband goes out and checks. He was gone for like 10 minutes, and he said he didn't see anything. He didn't see any dogs, any animals, any people. So we don't know what it was. So we're going to put up trail cams on the property, and we'll let you know if we see anything out of the ordinary. I'm kind of don't want to put them up. I don't want to see it. But at the same time, I do, because I'm going to protect our daughter, protect our family. I want us to be able to move freely upon the property and not have to worry about anything. We haven't fenced it all up yet, but we will fence it in. But anyway, not that would stop something like that, perhaps. But usually from what I've learned about rakes and different things like that, that they don't particularly camp out in one place. They move around. So hopefully that was just a one-time deal. But I guess we'll see. We haven't really spent the night a lot on the property to know if, like, creepy things come out at night or if there's anything that's living there, an entity that's somehow bound to the property. But if we figure it out, we'll let you know. All right. Thanks a lot, Derek. Bye.
Thanks, Christina. Spooky sounds in the woods. You know, we just did an entire episode on this subject over on this week's Tuesday release. If you're not already listening to those Tuesday episodes, you had better get over there. You're missing out on some amazing content. Now, Christina, as for those trail cameras, I'm looking forward to seeing what you capture. But I hope for your sake, it's merely the wind. Thank you again for calling in. Now, folks, I'm going to keep this grab bag thing going over on the Beyond. If you don't already have access, here's how to join. Visit patreon.com, search for Monsters Among Us podcast, and join the $5 level. And boom, that's it, you're in. Or if you're listening from Apple Podcasts, just click the subscribe button from our homepage, and you can access the Beyond from there. And don't forget that you can check out either of those for a full week for absolutely free. It's in the Beyond that we get to share stories like Missy's from the state of Georgia.
Hey, Derek. My name is Missy. I currently live in South Georgia. The story I'm going to tell you happened when I lived in South Florida and I was 13 years old. So a couple weeks ago, I was listening to your podcast, and I was listening to your Mirrored Men part two. I'd never heard of them before. I'd never heard part one, but I was listening to this part two that you put out, and you started talking about this Philippine legend of these three beings in hoods that knocked on people's doors. I have to tell you that my whole body went numb when I heard you say that. And the reason being is because I'm 44 now, but when I was 13 years old, I had a dream about these three hooded beings trying to come into my house. And they were humanoid shaped. I would say they were completely human shaped, except they didn't have any feet because they floated toward it, or I didn't see their feet. But in my dream, in my house, we had a sliding glass door, and they were trying to get into the sliding glass door. And in the dream, it was nighttime, and I was in my breakfast nook where the sliding glass door, you could look outside onto the pool patio.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.